The 60-mile-long transmission line would link Cake to the electrical grid in Petersburg and hydropower from the Southeast Alaska Power Agency's plants near Wrangell and Ketchikan. John Jensen is chairman of the board of that organization formed by Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan.
I would certainly like to see it just mainly help out Cake. It seems like their economy has suffered and their community's shrunk in size, and it's been really hard on them having these high fuel prices, that's how they generate their power. So it makes it pretty difficult for them to run much with electricity, so this would definitely be a benefit.
SEPA's hydroelectricity would be cheaper and cleaner than the diesel generators that currently power Cake, but the cost of building a new power line across Kuprinoff Island could be a stumbling block still. A 2014 estimate puts the price tag at $57 million and up, depending on the route. The Forest Service's final environmental impact statement and record of decision opts to go with one of three proposed routes across Kuprinoff. It follows a road corridor granted by the federal government for the eventual construction of a road across the northern side of the island, and about 34 miles of the route would parallel existing logging roads across national forest land. Tom Parker, planning resource staff at the Petersburg Ranger District, explains how the power line corridor would look along the portion of the route visible from Frederick Sound.
You know, so we're looking at anywhere from a 150 to a 300-foot corridor, which is right now, when people, the forest users, go out on the roads, you know, you're looking at a 100-foot, 50, usually it's 50 feet center line. And it just depends on the type of trees, vegetation that they find, how wide the corridor needs to be. But in the special use permit that'll be given to them, it'll be up to a 300-foot swath.
Trees would be cut along the route and kept clear from the power line. The project anticipates single wooden poles and three transmission wires along the route. In his record of decision, Tongass Forest Supervisor Earl Stewart acknowledges that a different alternative, called the Center-South Route, has a smaller overall footprint than the selected northern route. But Stewart notes that the northern route would mean fewer stream crossings. And the agency's Parker explains other reasons for not choosing to go through the center part of the island.
Well, on the center-south route, there's a lot of concern. When you come across the center of Kuprinoff Island, it's a lot of muskeg, and the cost for putting in this artificial matting, they call it, would be more. Be a longer distance, be a higher cost when it comes to that section of it. There'd be two water crossings as opposed to just the one water crossing coming across the north end of the Wrangell Narrows. So, and several other reasons.
That artificial matting would be brought in temporarily to install the power poles across muskeg along the route. Forest Supervisor Stewart also notes possible conflicts with commercial fisheries in Duncan Canal, where the center-south route would require a submarine cable crossing.
From Kuprinoff's standpoint, we still feel a southern route is the better solution. Everything.
That's Tom Reinhartz, mayor of the city of Kuprinoff, which had registered concerns with the selected alternative along the northern side of the island.
With the preliminary information that we saw, the city had a number of concerns that needed to be dealt with, that dealt with going through environmentally sensitive areas, areas that are wildlife habitats, things like that. And we made a number of comments regarding the preliminary documents that were issued some time ago.
Reinhartz says Kuprinoff will be reviewing the draft decision to see if those concerns have been addressed, and if not, file additional comments. The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, a regional environmental group, also supported the center-south route for minimizing impacts to wetlands and deer habitat. The organized village of Cake, the tribal government in that community, submitted letters of support for the project, as did the Inside Passage Electrical Cooperative, which sells diesel power to Cake. And it's long been a dream of Cake's former mayor, Henrich Kadake.
I just real happy that it's moving forward because, you know, no matter what kind of things happen, you know, that Enerti would be still a big part of our economy in Cake.
Electrical rates in Cake are much higher than in nearby Petersburg, especially for businesses. The community is pursuing a small local hydro project that would generate a portion of energy needed by the town. But Kadake says even with that project, his town needs power from the Enerti.
I just hope that it'll keep moving. You know, even if it has to sit on the shelf for a few years, it would be still a good thing for us that it's there and it's ready. You know, if there's ever money available, it will happen.
The environmental review looks at building a power line without a road along its entire length. That's despite efforts by the state of Alaska to construct a road link along that Northern Route Road corridor. If it is built, it could lower the cost of maintaining a power line. And while the money's been secured for the road project, there's no funding identified yet to build a power line. A notice on the Forest Service's decision is set to be published in the Federal Register at the beginning of July. There's a 45-day objection period that runs until August 12th. A final record of decision could be out at the end of the 45-day period, depending on whether there are any further objections. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.